You're right. Just making sure George is fine. Well, it makes you known anyway. Everyone knows you now, George. All right, let's get straight into it. Let's pray. Lord, I do want to just thank you for the camp so far. Thank you, Lord, for your working in and through people's lives, Lord. Lord, I do want to just ask now that you'll continue to use me, Lord. And Lord, just be working on each and every teen's heart here tonight, Lord. Please reveal to them the truths within your word, Lord. Specifically the need that they have individually, Lord. Please reveal what they need to know. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we have established the map for the marathon, is the word of God. We also established the need to be in the marathon, which I suppose you could say two different thoughts about the marathon, which are obvious. You need to be in the marathon and you need to know where you're going. You need help along the way. But I want to talk tonight from John 15 about the purpose and the strength we can get. The purpose within the marathon and the strength we inherit, the strength to endure through the marathon. Now, as I said this morning, John 15 is our passage, and with the picture of the vine, many, many pictures within the Word of God. Now, here in John 15, we're starting straight away. I am the vine, or I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Go down to verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now here first of all we have Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is the vine. This is the picture we need to have in our minds. Jesus the vine, and the Father, God the Father, is the husbandman. The husbandman is the caretaker, the one who takes care of the vineyard, or specifically, as we're going to look tonight, the vine specifically. And it says down there in verse 5 that we are the branches. Now first, let's have a look at the Father. At the Father and what He does. And have a look at the Father as the husbandman and see His duty with the vine. Now the husbandman's job was to take care of, usually, obviously, you wouldn't just have one vine in a vineyard. You'd have many vines, but specifically we're talking about the one vine. He was to nurture, trim, defend the vine, and his interest in the vine was the growth and the welfare of the vine. And this is talking about our Father, which is in heaven. But the thing is, with earthly pictures, they always fall short of showing the true emphasis of what's trying to be shown here. Our God, our Father, is way more intimate, or wants to be more intimate, and more loving and more kind, and He's so much more than just someone looking after a vine, or someone caretaking a tree, you could say. His interests are so more intimate. God cares for the vine. He cares for the roots. He cares for the stock or the stump. He also cares for the large branches. He cares for the small branches, every shoot. And if you're having this in a picture in your head, it's as if there's one vine, and this father, this man this, who's looking after it, comes at every day, and he sees every little shoot coming on it. And he wants to feed it the right stuff. And he's taking care of it. Now, as the analogy goes, he directs the vine in the right way. We saw through the Word of God, God's desire is to direct us in the right way. When you have a vine, there is usually a rope line or wire out, and the vine is supposed to follow that line. And this is the direction in which the caretaker wants the vine to go. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, we understand, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Our Father in heaven desires that we will have our paths directed. He feeds the vine. You think about someone who's fertilizing and seeking to the growth of the vine. He's obviously going to put into the vine food. He's going to sustain it. We already saw from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, that God gives us all things that pertains to life and godliness. God sustains us with all we need to live a Christian life. God gives us what we need, everything. Philippians 4:19. I'll read this one out. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. This is our Father. This is the husbandman looking after the vine. He also prunes. There in verse 2 of John 15, about halfway down, it says, "And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." This is not discipline. This is not the vine doing something wrong. This is a branch that's bearing fruit, but the Lord desires that it bears more fruit, and so he prunes it. What happens when you cut one branch? It produces more than one branch. It produces more ability to bear fruit, I suppose you could say. And this is what God the Father does for us. The best example in the Word of God is Job. Job, who was a man of God, he was an upright man. He loved the Lord, and he did what was right. And he lost all his children. He lost everything he had, and he still bowed down and worshipped the Lord and gave him the preeminence, the first place in his life. Even his wife said, "Job, just curse God and die." His wife even said that, but he said no. His friends were saying a lot of different things, but a lot of them said, "Well, you must have done something wrong, Job." And Job's like, "Oh, I haven't. I'm honestly just desiring to serve God." But why did God do that? At the end of Job, you see what became of the abundance of this pruning in Job's life. He had the most fair daughters in the whole land. His children were more in abundance. His flocks and his herds were more than he doubled in what he had. He had way more than what he had in the beginning. And it came down to the pruning needing done in his life. God does prune the Christian. And it hurts. Sometimes it seems like, "God, why are you doing this?" But you got to understand, God sees the big picture. God's looking at the vine. And God's seeing the direction. God sees the past, the present, the future. And he sees where he wants this vine to go and how to be established properly. And so he prunes it where it's necessary for the desire to have more branches and ultimately more fruit. But also he cuts out useless pieces. That's a nice way to put it. He cuts out useless pieces. There's times where the pruning is done because there's branches not bearing fruit. We can see this as probably a discipline reaction. An action where God cuts back because there needs correcting. There's also times where when the Lord directs or corrects, when a man corrects a vine, sometimes if it's bent too much around and he desires it to come back this way, sometimes it actually half snaps when he bends the branch around. And that's what you call correction through discipline. Correction through discipline. Hebrews chapter 12. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" You see here the intimacy of the Father with his children. And when the children need correcting because they're going the wrong way, He disciplines them because he sees that discipline is necessary for correction. Just like a father would do to his children, to his son. And this is basically what we see here is a picture of God who loves his children. There is a great love that this husbandman has for his vine. God loves us. God loves his son, the Lord Jesus. God loves this vine, and he wants the best from this vine and from every single branch. And that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing because we can then put our faith and trust in him to do what he sees necessary in our life. Too often we kick up and we say, Lord, you don't know what you're doing. But this is the thing. It says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that who are the called according to his purpose. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says works together for good. It's not saying that you will never go through hardship or trials. It's saying that these hardship and trials will work in your life for good. God sees the big picture. Don't limit God to our thinking or our dimension of time. God is outside of it. He sees the big picture and he sees what's best for us as his children. Now Jesus, that's the Father, the husbandman. The Lord Jesus is the stock from which we obtain from the Father. The Father has given the stock. Jesus is the solid, unmovable roots and, let's say, trunk, roots and trunk. And it is only through him that we can get what we need. Now, this is speaking of salvation. We touched on that this morning. We looked enough, I believe, into that this morning. But Jesus is the roots and the stock of the vine. And we need to be in the vine. This passage of scripture we're looking at here is not speaking of salvation. It's speaking of growth and fruit. And this morning we saw salvation. And we saw how we need to be in the vine. Now it then goes on and says that we are the branches. Obviously, speaking of Christians, the ones who are in the vine, we are the branches. Now, naturally, we don't grow out of the stock of the Lord Jesus. Naturally, we grow from a corrupt stock of sin. And we saw that this morning, that we are not born saved. We are born sinners. And when we are saved, or when we come into the vine, it's what they call engrafting. So we get taken away from another sinful stock, and we get put into the Lord Jesus. This is a beautiful, beautiful picture. Because what engrafting is, when we're talking about plants, is you get a good, solid stock with good roots, and you get a branch from another tree. They actually have to be the same, they have to be sort of compatible together, the two different plants. But what you do is you cut it, and you put it in. There's a lot to it, but basically what you're doing is using the roots and the stock of the good stock to produce and the sap to flow through into the engrafted branch to produce the engrafted branch. You'll say, okay, what does it produce then? Does it produce the stock or produce the branch? It produces what the branch has, but the sap is coming through. It's a marvelous thing that somebody found out you can do with plants, and it's great. And the picture is, we are engrafted into the Lord Jesus when we are saved. And the sap is flowing through into us. Now the sap can be, we can use the analogy that the sap is the Holy Spirit. The sap is the Holy Spirit giving us life. It says in Ephesians 1:13 that when we are saved, when we believe, we receive the Holy Spirit of promise. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And that's a very marvelous thing as well. Now, the day that's talking about the day of salvation again. The day of salvation. The beautiful communion and intimacy. It's like these engrafted pieces go like this. There's an intimacy there that starts when we get into the vine. It's beautiful. But again, this beauty is speaking of salvation. What we're talking about tonight is the necessity that, well, God wants to do more than just save us. If God just wanted to save us and give us the joy of salvation, then why doesn't He just take us straight home when we are saved? God desires to have an intimate relationship with each and every single one of His who are in the vine. Too often we are like, praise the Lord, I'm saved. There's joy, there's excitement, and that's a good thing. But He came to give us life and life more abundant, not just salvation. He came to do more than just save us. He desires that we live a life that's full and abundant of ultimately abiding in the vine. If you are genuinely saved today, if you're genuinely saved and you find that the Christian life is boring, if you find the Christian life doesn't have life, it's miserable, then you haven't understood the necessity of abiding in the vine. You've been saved. You've received that first initial joy of the Lord for salvation. But you haven't experienced the abiding in the vine. The abiding in the vine. The Lord says here in verse 4, abide in me. Abide in me. This is the call of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has done a few calls over throughout the Word of God. He said to disciples, first of all, follow me. And He says that to each and everyone out there. Follow me. Follow me. But now He's calling to abide. Colossians 2:6, it says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You see that there's a difference. You've received Christ Jesus. Okay, now it's time to walk in Him. You've received Christ Jesus. Okay, now it's time to live for Him. It's time to abide in that vine. Abide simply is to continue or to stay. But if you look at it a little bit deeper, it's more like dwell. It's more like make residence and live off, I suppose you could say. But what it really comes down to is dependence. Dependence in the vine. It is the desire of the Lord for all of us to have dependence in Him. Turn to Matthew in chapter 11. Matthew in chapter 11. Go to verse 28. We'll read 28 and 29. Matthew 11, 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Do you know that in this passage, there is two rests that you can have here. There is given rest and found rest. Now, if you're saved, if you're a born-again believer, you've experienced the given rest. You've been given rest from the Lord. But if you go on, many Christians don't experience the found rest. The given rest has come because it says there, come unto me, all ye that are labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. That's salvation. You've come to the Lord for salvation. Praise the Lord. That's great. But then it goes on, it says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's all about yoking up with Christ. This yoking has to do with what the picture is two oxen. A lot of times they had an old ox or old cow who would get alongside a young cow. The yoke was the piece of wood that they put over top of their necks, and they'll tie them together. And it had to do with the old ox teaching the young ox where to go and how to walk orderly. Now this picture has been taken on, and the Lord Jesus is saying, yoke up with me. He's saying, come on, come alongside me and learn of me. Learn what I'm doing. Learn how to be Christ-like. Come on, I want to help you. Get alongside me. This is the abiding, yoking up with the Lord Jesus. Now I'll give you an example. I'll give you an example of this, and we may understand what it takes. I'm going to give you an analogy of a musician. Well, not much of a musician. Someone who looks and desires to play an instrument. Let's talk about guitar. This comes more close to home because I've done this before. you desire to play guitar. And you get that guitar, and there's excitement, there's joy, and you're learning chords, and you learn the basic three chords. Now, there's a few more than that. You learn the basic chords, and you can play songs. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, by the way. And you play these songs, and you can play Jesus Loves Me or Washed in the Blood, which I think only takes three. And you learn these chords. Then you look out, and there's someone who's sitting there, and he's just playing like it's an extension of his body. And it's like the way the playing is like, wow, that's so beautiful. How on earth can he get that good at playing that instrument? That's just amazing how he can be that good. And he's playing along, but then you find out what it takes. You find out that it takes discipline, sacrifice, focus, surrender. It takes hard work, and it takes more than just fiddling to actually learn to be like that. Now, this is what we can say the difference is between being abiding in Christ and following Christ. This is the difference. The joy of getting that instrument and playing it, seeing where it can lead to and what you can experience, but yet not ever taking it upon yourself to go through the hard work that it may take to get there. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says in this passage, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right here we see that Paul identifies himself with Christ to the point where he's saying, my life isn't my own. My life isn't my own. And I'm not living my life to please me. I'm living it to please the Lord. I'm living because I've died. I'm living a life pleasing unto the Lord because I've given up on myself and I've given my life to the Lord. And this is how we draw strength to continue in this race that we are running. Too often we clamp the sap flowing. Too often we hinder the sap flowing from the vine and coming up through us to produce fruit. Too often we stop the flow and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to be working through us. It takes more than just every now and again reading your Bible and every now and again praying. It takes more discipline, hard work, dedication, sacrifice to actually live a life pleasing unto the Lord where you can then say, I am abiding in the vine. And then the flow of the Holy Spirit working through the stock, working through the branch, will then come into the fruit. Then comes out into the fruit. The fruit is such a glorious thing. The fruit is basically what the husbandman wants. You think about it. The husbandman cares about the vine. He desires it to be healthy and looking good. But what he really wants is fruit. That's really what he wants. I'm going to stop there tonight. I'm going to stop and I'll continue on. With the fruit and the necessity of what the fruit of bearing fruit, and that's the purpose. But we'll stop at looking at the way for us to draw strength from the vine, and it comes down to abiding. Are you abiding in the vine? What kind of Christian are you? What kind of Christian are you? Are you content with just knowing the three basic chords of Christianity? Or do you see that there's more for a Christian? There's more for a Christian. Stop it being just a desire and actually take hold of it. It does take discipline, hard work, sacrifice and focus to get there though. Are you willing to do that? Let's close in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, even in my own life, Lord, I understand that there's times where I need to be more given to you, Lord. I need to be dying to self more often, Lord. So much of the work of the Lord is hindered because of the lack of abiding in the vine. I want to thank you, Father, for loving us enough to be able to give us this opportunity to have the Holy Spirit working through us, to be able to be engrafted into the Lord Jesus. It's a beautiful picture, and it's such a marvelous thing that you've done there for us, Lord. Lord, please help every Christian here, Lord, to have a desire to be more than just saved, more than just saved, and desire to have and bask in the riches and the glory and the awesome promises that you've offered to all of us. Lord, I do pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.